Well, it's the first things first. Hello and welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well. I'm in my shed at the bottom of the garden. And, Marty, I'll go as far as saying it saved our marriage in lockdown.
Did it? People will think you and I are married. Now, hang on a second. Where is your shed? Where is your garden, more to the point?
We're in southeast London. Right. In lovely Penge.
Penge? Where's that?
Penge. We like to call it Penge.
Penge. That's because you're from Belfast.
Penge.
Yes. You're turning it into a posh place.
You think
place.
She's posh?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this is home.
This is home. This is home for us in London. Me and my husband and my 8-year-old boy Benjamin.
Ah, lovely. So you escaped, do you, to the shed? Is that the plan?
I've escaped to the woman's shed.
Isn't that great? Because I don't hear about women having sheds at all. It's always men.
Well, this is mine. I have conquered it, and it's mine, and nobody's getting in. I swear, it has been such a saving grace for this, especially this last lockdown. It's been a real treasure.
To be able to go somewhere and say, I'm very busy, I must be away to my shed.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. That's
right. And it is Love International it. Women's Day, after all, so you can fly a flag and everything down there.
I'm going to do it.
You are, of course you are.
Well, every day.
First things first, I need to you have had the most amazing career, haven't you, to date? And you're still flying at your heart. But it's an amazing run, when I think, because I was reading about you and I was fascinated. Because the West End, to me, is something any of us who go from here to London, we all want to go, we all have to see a show. It's Absolutely. Just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Same as you go to Broadway, Dash. And there it is. And the thing is, there's every chance we could see you on Broadway no more than the West End.
I was thinking about this, Marty. I have done as many productions on Broadway as I have on the West End. Isn't that nuts?
That's fantastic.
Like, for me, even thinking that is like, what? Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, it happened because you're fabulous, that's why. Yeah. It says here.
Well, you know, but I don't think day to day. I'm fabulous. Especially if you lived with me. My husband wouldn't say I was fabulous.
Well, hence the shed.
You know what I mean? Hence the shed. Yeah. Every woman needs one. No, so I just, you kind of just pinch it. Marty, when I think about, like I was thinking about this interview, and I was just thinking, my God, I actually have done this equivalent amount of productions over there on the big bright lights of Broadway. Like, Marty, Broadway to me was an absolute dream. It wasn't even in my career plan goals. It was just a total and utter dream.
But
that
when
you
think
actually dream
about,
of when you sleep.
But when you think about the opportunities, would you see, okay, there's two ways of looking at this. The first one is the opportunities come because you're good at what you do. But luck has to play a part in it too. The right time, right place,
agree.
All that carry on. And then
couldn't
the TV, you know, and your TV exposure and stuff. But the fact is that when you were, I love the story about you as a little person, and but you loved all this, that you would act out scenes from Singing in the Rain and everything, that you loved the musicals, you loved theatre, you loved shows. It was in you.
I loved showing off, and it was encouraged in our house. My dad, from six, was like literally, he was the breadwinner at the age of like nine for his family. They were poor, and he went out with his father round, so it was really, it's in our blood, it's in my DNA.
But your dad was in a band, all right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my dad's been singing from he was younger than me, you know, and professionally, you know. So, yes, and that's who we got encouragement from, and who, you know, obviously taking us to auditions and. But at the same time, Marty, there was a real, well, it's up to you. You know, I can bring you. Is that what you want? I'll bring you. But if you don't want to do it, you know, and that's what was brilliant. We were never pushed or it was never forced onto me. It was, I kind of led them.
Yes.
You know, and that's what they knew that there was nothing else I wanted to do, you know, and I've known that from a young age, which has actually been great.
Sure. And listen, how did you start at the Royal Academy of Music? There's posh. You're talking to me about posh.
There's posh. I know this is the thing. It sounds so grand and beautiful. Yeah. And it is. It's a stunning building being. But like, there's this quarter, this little section of musical theatre fame kids that all the rest of the school like kind of look down their nose at.
Right, sure.
But we were one of those kids. Yeah, so I had actually, my first professional job was rent in Dublin at the Olympia Theatre.
Right.
When I was 18, I got cast in that. And in fact, it was the rent's anniversary yesterday.
Wasn't that the one with all the drums? All the drummers
in
it? Yes, I remember that.
And very bohemian. And it's So we did a run at the Olympia, and I was cast in it, not having trained, literally just out of college in Belfast. And it was then that made me go, right, I now know I need training because I can't, I couldn't, you know, we did 3 month run and I was knackered at the end of it, like my voice, everything shot. So I then, that's when I started looking at colleges and I was convinced that 3 years was what I wanted, but I was told I would just, should really just do a 1 year postgrad. And I looked around the colleges and a friend of mine had been at RAM, Royal Academy of Music, and it was the one, it was the one for me. So that's how RAM happened. And I'm glad it did because it was 9 months of intense kind of polishing me off, getting me technically trained, better vocally, better acting and a bit of movement, and then a showcase where I got a brilliant agent at the end, and that was kind of the start of it.
Isn't it incredible? And you know, people talk about the spirit of Northern Ireland and the need to succeed and all the rest of it. Mm. Do you feel that? Did you feel that then? Do you feel that now? That spark? You talk about your dad. Clearly, your dad was a major influence in your family. But do you feel that is important? That growing up in Northern Ireland gave you that push, if you like.
Absolutely, Marty. And, you know, coming from the background that we did, there was so much money that was pumped into arts because of the troubles that was happening around kids at the time. So the cross-community arts that happened, the amount of activity that there were for kids at my age at that time growing up was immense. So for someone like me who had a love for it naturally, there was hundreds of things around for me to do after school, weekends, summer schools.
That's like so important.
The Lyric Theatre in Belfast had these professional people flown over from London, and the ensemble were the kids, and we like obviously didn't get paid for it, but the experience we got from like 13, 14, 15, 16 of all these professionals coming over from London, like just watching how it works at that age was insane, and that doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Great shame.
And it was pumped into Northern Ireland because of the troubles. So,
yes, I understand.
You know, it has benefited in certain ways for me.
And it made a huge amount of sense that it would give you that sense of purpose and a sense of, something else apart from
something else,
the rest that was going on, which is so important.
Yeah,
I love the fact that you played Dorothy in the Royal Shakespeare Company, indeed. For The Wizard of Oz.
It was the Royal Shakespeare production at the Lyric. I said the last words of the old Lyric before it got demolished and rebuilt.
What did you say?
So I said, there
bring
is
in the
no
rollerball,
place like home.
Oh, look at you. And then they brought in the wrecking ball.
That's right. Me and Liam Neeson and James Nesbitt.
That's lovely. That's a good cue then for Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which I know you've recorded.
Oh, that's nice.
I know it's a kind of an odd link, but still it's as good as I can get. And the fee I'm paid, here it is.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the farm. I should have listened to my old man. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up with you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This girl's too young to be singing the blues. Ah, So goodbye, yellow brick road, where the dogs of society howl. You can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow, back to the howling old owl in the woods, hunting the horny back toad. Oh, I've finally decided my future lies beyond again. Or maybe you'll get
Now, chatting away with Rachel Tucker. Rachel Kelly Tucker. Let's give her full title.
That's Rachel right. Kelly that's my name, Rachel Kelly.
That's a real fighting name, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Rachel Plan Kelly name. Tucker. I'm messing with you. But no, we were talking about Belfast and that whole idea. On International Women's Day, these things are important. It's important, I think, to celebrate, to make the point about how these things work. And yet it takes two to tango. You've got to be the person with the oomph, with the get up and go. Mm-hmm. And you've had that. And I think particularly about when you were involved in, what was that television show that Andrew Lloyd Webber, Cameron McIntosh and Andrew Lloyd Webber were involved
Sir
in.
Sir Andrew, yes.
Indeed. Does he still have a castle here? I think he does. Anyway, I'm sure he does. The fact is, and he has a few theatres too. Jeepers
yeah,
tonight.
He does, indeed.
He's an astonishing man. But what I find fascinating is, here are two of the greatest theatrical personages it's possible to be in front of, and you found yourself in front of both of them at the one time. How do you deal with that? Because that's dealing with the big people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know,
with
I
respect
know.
To everybody else. How did you deal with that? And did your background help you with that, I presume?
I was just going to start like that, Marty. Mm. You know, it's, you know, like my dad's saying was, Rachel, no shows, you're only as good as your last show. Yeah. That was our saying, no matter. And I never understood it until I did the Nancy programme. I'd do anything.
Yeah.
And it was, no matter who's in front of you, it shouldn't really matter. In fact, it doesn't matter.
No.
But what does matter is delivering what you have at that day, on that moment, as best as you have.
Yes.
That's your last show. That's as good as you're going to get.
That's true.
And those people, so if I had a bad week, which I did, I'd do anything.
Yeah.
And I had to come, everybody knows me as that bad week. Like so I had to come
back.
But
it didn't hold you back. It spurred you to great things.
It absolutely did, and it made me fight harder for it, I knew it was a competition, and I knew it was a popularity competition as much as a talent competition.
Oh, well, television shows, I mean, for heaven's sake, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely,
but equally, it must have been that sense of, I'll show you,
that
bit of grit in you that said,
yes,
hang on a second.
And, I think he saw something in me, but I think I was too much of something that he I think he thought was already moulded and shaped and done.
Yes.
And it wasn't his real cup of tea, if you know what I mean.
I
think he saw there was talent there, but I don't think he loved what I did. I think until my exit music, please, until my last show. And we had a chat beforehand, and he's just saying, like talking about Elsie, and my last song was Cabaret, by the way, from Cabaret. Mm. And I just went out and made it from my guts, from my own. And I shouted, when I go, I'm going like Rachel. Because the whole programme, they had been saying, I know, but who is Rachel? We don't know Rachel. And it was the most frustrating thing, because they were saying Rachel every week. I couldn't have been more me. And it was frustrating, because I think it was a diversion to tell the public that we're not seeing Rachel, when actually they had seen me week one, and I had no kind of, I didn't progress, and you know how television progresses, like the progression and stuff, and
right.
I was kind of ready to go on week one. I was like, I was ready to win it.
Not, of course you were.
I didn't think they loved it. They didn't like that. It wasn't good television.
But again,
so they had to put up barriers. Yeah.
Well, I know what you mean, but it didn't stop you. We just, that great thing about the spirit. And again, your spirit, that's the Irish spirit too, north or south, in fairness, But you must have been standing, like, I'm bursting to play, Defying Gravity. Because when you think of yourself as a little girl, as young as you were when you started out, and playing at the... Like, where would you have played? Where were the place you played when you were small?
Right, so my dad and I did cabaret around Belfast.
Yeah, I know,
so,
but where would you
bands,
be?
The Harlan Wolf Welders Club, the Dockers Club. We did loads around the country.
But you're only a smallie, like, at this
time. I was tiny, yeah. I mean, if you think about it now, I don't think it would be legal.
Well, I was just thinking.
Me and my dad did.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, I don't think, like, a kid couldn't be in a pub. Although I was working, so even back then, you had to be a teen, obviously, to be in a pub. But I was there to sing, so I was always out the back. I was never in the... And again, they could smoke those times. So I had to be, sheltered from that, which I was.
At what age were you?
But I started when I was 9.
I can't see you eating crisps, having a cigarette and a pint of beer at 9 in the Dockery.
I absolutely was not.
That's a horrendous picture that I paid.
Absolutely.
No, but that wasn't happening. But still, don't forget, you were protected. Your dad was with you. He was minding you.
I was. And absolutely. And it was We did our things and we went home, you know.
Yes, exactly.
But that was my training ground, you know.
But imagine if your little head had seen into the future and talked about, in your head, the West End or Broadway and getting to sing something like Wicked and being in Wicked.
I know.
Have to laugh. You were on Broadway in Wicked, weren't you?
Yes.
And we went to see Wicked. How old were you in the production we saw? I can't remember because it's it's about 5 years, 6 years ago. Six years. You could well have been.
I know.
Wow. To end up there.
I know. Marty, I'll give you a story. So I had heard this musical of Wicked. I'm obsessed with it, obviously. This brand new musical. Like, I'd never heard singing like it.
No.
And I convinced my sister.
Shout up from the shed for a drink of water, will you?
When the pound was great against the American dollar, to go on a girly shopping holiday to New York. And it was really for me to see this new production of Wicked, right? It was just like, I was obsessed.
Yes.
And our tickets for the flight and accommodation were cheaper than our tickets for Wicked, the show.
Oh my God, because it was so popular.
It was so new and so popular. To coin it, popular. And so we got in there and we got our tickets, and Idina Menzel, who's the star of the show, who won the Tony, wasn't on, and I pinned an usher up against the corner and was like, "You don't understand, I've come from Belfast to see Idina, why isn't she on?" And the poor guy was like, "I'm sorry, ma'am, she's sick." And I was like, "I don't understand this." And of course, at that age, and not having been and done the show, and how dare I even question why she was off. But so we watched it, and Marty, I sobbed inconsolably after it. Like the ushers were asking us to leave. I couldn't move from my seat. And I promised, I said to my mum and sister, "I swear, I promise, I am going to play that part someday." I could hardly speak, Marty. And little did I know that 10 years later, almost to the day, that I would be on the Gershwin stage playing it on Broadway.
Astonishing.
And haven't done a run in the West End of it. It's like, you couldn't write it.
No, it's so true. And it is such an important role to have under your belt. And to be able to stand. And you must have stood there at nights and went, "Oh my God, can't believe I'm actually here and doing this."
And it was what really solidified my career and what pushed me into the next level. Marty, I'd Do Anything was great, and it was a great exposure and stepping stone. But it was actually, can she do it 8 times a week?
Yeah.
In a role like that. And I did for 3.5 years in London.
Well, that's why it's International Women's Day, because you can do it 8 times a week. Listen, a question for you. Is it true that you were supposed to be going back to the States at the beginning of the pandemic?
I was there. I had just opened on Broadway.
On Broadway.
Come From Away.
Yeah. Musical.
Yeah. So I had done 10 shows, and the pandemic closed us, the whole world.
It closed it down. And you basically came home to the shed.
Yeah, came back to the shed. And where I've lived.
Where people send food and alms and whatever. And have you worked since, with respect? Have you been able to get out and about?
Well, honestly, thank goodness, we have done, me and my husband are coaching quite a bit online, masterclasses through drama schools and young kids, especially in Northern Ireland, where I'm a patron of a couple of schools. And
are you? Very good. Not your old school, I wonder, is it?
No, not my old school. James Hewish Academy and stuff. And
very nice.
It's just the talent that you're able to witness. And if I was doing 8 shows a week, I wouldn't have been able to stay and coach and inspire these kids the way
but
and just be online.
How brilliant that you're doing that and that you're able
I
to do
love
that.
It, Marty.
And that they look to you and go, "There she is." Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and young kids that are like, not even young kids, like 18, 19, 20 year olds that are hoping to get into drama school, you know, kind of coaching them through some audition material to get into, which, and now everything's online. They've got to submit their videos, like their songs via video and stuff. So all that.
And come here, are you seeing really good talent coming away? Are you seeing?
I have never been more blown away. I had a masterclass last week in a school, Pam Lacasse. The kids that came out of there are just unbelievable. Every single one of them, and I'm not just saying it, I'm really not. Yeah.
That's lovely.
But it was and the James Hewish, it's just unreal, the stuff that's coming
But it's you going back again, back to Belfast, back to, you know what I mean? That's a lovely thing, a lovely and closing of a circle, if you will.
It is. And Marty, I'll always go back and give time and to the talent that's coming out of there, because we had to look to London for our, you know, and anybody around us. And of course, social media now plays such a big part on it. And I can inspire kids through videos that I put on. And the amount of times people have said to me, Rachel, you've no idea that you, how much you've actually inspired
me.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
If she can do it, I can do it.
You have to have the talent and to get up and go as well, which you clearly did.
Yeah.
Incidentally, do you know what's next for you? Do you know? Do you are at the stage?
Marty, I have just landed myself a brilliant role in a new Northern Irish TV drama, which I can't talk about.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you. Good luck. Are you serious? You can't tell us anything.
I can't say any more than that. But again, another something I've always wanted to do, TV.
Fantastic.
But when you're doing 8 shows a week, you're not available for being submitted for these TV things.
That is wonderful. Well, congratulations.
And thank you. And I've just, next week I'm about to film an episode in Holby City.
No.
I'm a patient. Mairead. They actually changed her name because they couldn't pronounce it. Isn't that hilarious?
Mairead.
Her name's now Kath. Kathy has a hernia.
She
goes in.
It's nice to have a hobby.
And she goes in with her problems, and she runs because she doesn't want the certain doctor doing an operation on her. And then she talks about her piles and her ingrown toenails.
It's all show business, isn't it?
It's all show business.
But what was that great line? Face miles of trials in piles. It's something like that. I can't remember what it was. I get it eventually. Listen, I want to finish up because I'm dying to play Defying Gravity, which is your own fault.
Oh, wow.
I can't help it. Rachel, it's been a joy. And look, have a wonderful International Women's Day. Come out of the shed, will you, for a bit?
Come out of the shed. Share the day.
God bless you. It's been a real joy. I really enjoyed
Cheers.
It. And
Thank
take
you,
care,
Mom.
Rachel. Take care. We'll see you next time. See you on the telly. Bye.
Yes.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That's
Marty.
Rachel Tucker there. She's in the shed in London, but from Belfast, of course. And what is that? Is it Face Miles of Trials with Smiles? That's what it was. And we're talking about piles. Well, that's television for you and radio. Here she is, singing Defying Gravity.
You've been listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.